Welcome to the Fantasy Football Podcast Extraordinaire. I am Jim. On the other side of this screen is Kyle. This is the not-so-special Thanksgiving edition. I don't think we have too many special things going on, but it's always fun to celebrate. It's my favorite time of year because the Lions get to play on Thanksgiving every year, and it's always a big deal. So it's fun to watch. I'm excited. We lost last year. It was pretty painful, so I want to get some good mojo back on Thanksgiving. So how are you doing, Kyle?
I'm good. Yeah, we're recording on Wednesday night, so a day late, so I don't have to go into work tomorrow. So it's a little bit more relaxing. But yeah, I was going to say, the Lions always play on Thanksgiving. They always have. Did they always used to play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving?
Was that just... No, the Cowboys got added later. It used to only be the Lions against another team. That was a thing from way back in probably like the 30s. I don't know how far it goes back, but it's an old, old thing. And then I think in the 70s or 80s, they added the Cowboys. And that's when they became like the two teams playing. And then obviously we had the third random two teams, what, 5-10 years ago, somewhere in there.
Yeah. And that was it. That was the only Thursday night game of the year, not even that long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Then they decided like, oh, we'll do it during November because people like it. Then they're like, nah, we'll just do it all year. It's more money. But yeah,
well, it makes sense being on a holiday because they do normally try to do Christmas games and stuff like that. So I think it didn't start out as like, you know, just having football on Thursday. It was more so just it made sense to have a game midweek and it falls on a nice day being a holiday. So I think it always worked out for them. They probably make so much money on Thanksgiving with football games because everyone watches. Everyone watches football. Every time I've gone to a Thanksgiving dinner, they have football on. It's just the way it is.
Well, you're usually done eating and then football's on and just sitting there. Don't want to move, don't want to do shit, so yeah, turn on the football.
Right, it's the perfect thing.
Yep. Do you know why the Lions are the Thanksgiving thing? Is there like a reason?
I should know. I know there's some like reason behind it, and it is like why the tradition was created, but I don't know it off the top of my head, unfortunately.
I'm just curious how that came to be. You can look her up, let me know what you find. I'll jump into the, I'll start with the Fab bet results from last week. We broke the streak. The majority got this one right, finally. So Ashley beat me in the Battle of the Bums, so I am now dead last in our league here. So congrats to Tiff, Lee, myself, Carson's, Jim, Jackie, and Vicky. Y'all got it right. Y'all got an extra $5. At least I got $5 out of it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Hopefully not lose the grand loser bowl, but
it might be the $5 that matters at the end, you know.
Yeah,
it might be that big player.
Yeah. So congrats to Ashley for winning. I don't have ever been in dead last in this league before. I think one year I might have. That year I just got all Packer players for the shit of it.
Yeah, that was pretty early on though.
I think it was like a $5 league at the time, so I was just kind of dicking around. I think I drafted and I wound up with like three of them. And I was like, oh, through trades and this, I could get all the Packers players. And
might have been the first year. I think that was the year that Vicky won. Yeah, because you had like all the Packer players. I remember you doing like a crazy trade for like Randall Cobb or something. And then
I gave up like a
good
tight end. I remember people getting pissed about it. But it was like a tight end I got off waivers who just got hot. And
I don't remember being like egregious. It was definitely like overpay from what I would think. But I mean, it was obvious why you did it. So it was like, it kind of made sense. He was worth more to you than other people. But yeah, some people just, they can't handle that stuff.
It's a bad strategy if anyone's trying it. Unless maybe this year you could have done it with the Lions. I bet you'd be.
I'm sure the Lions would be really high. It's been hard to get them all though, because you would have to have almost two first round picks unless you got Gibbs and St. Brown. Like,
Zamon-Ra. Amon-Ra was first round. I don't know if Gibbs was.
Gibbs was generally first.
Second half. It might have been.
He was definitely late first, if not early second. But I think he went before I could take him, I think, in this draft. I think Tiff took him like fourth or fifth overall.
They don't have a third receiver you could really start. They have two receivers, two running backs.
In this league, it'd be a little harder. You have to have a third receiver. But yeah, you'd have two running backs, two receivers, a tight end. A good defense, a good quarterback, and then you have everything you'd want. Like, that has to be pretty competitive. I mean, it's two top 10 running backs. It's the number two overall receiver.
Yeah.
And then I think Williams is probably like top 30. I mean, that sounds like a really good team.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, there'd be weeks where you're scoring 150 with that team, I would think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, how many weeks does both Montgomery and Gibbs both get 20 points? Like, there's 40-plus points almost every week between those two.
And I feel like they both get a touchdown. Like, they get a touchdown each, like, probably every other week.
Well, right now, I think they're on some crazy streak of touchdowns, like, together.
Well, between, oh, like, both of them get one?
Yeah, they're both scoring a touchdown, like, every game for the past, like, 8 games or something. Mm-hmm. They're both being very competitive. Well, I think Montgomery did break it recently because he did have one game where he didn't get a touchdown recently. But, I mean, almost every game this year, they both scored.
But, I mean, in general, it's a pretty bad strategy. I don't suggest it, honestly.
There's like a couple teams every decade that can, you know, do it.
But anyways, next week's bet. We're going to make this one a Thanksgiving Day bet. So I'm going to put it out to the text tonight so people have time to respond. Because the games, I think, start at noon tomorrow. Neither one of them.
11:45, actually.
When do the Lions start tomorrow? 11:45, okay.
Yeah, it's generally a little bit earlier.
Okay. But yeah, the question for tomorrow is who's going to score more on Thanksgiving? The Lions, who are going to play the Bears, or the Packers, who are going to play the Dolphins? And both teams are at their home field. So both teams have pretty decent defenses. I mean, Lions have been getting some pretty monstrous scores lately, but the Packers outscored them last week, so
that'll be the bet. Lions are a little banged up, too. So, I mean, they're not going to have a full offense.
It's a short week.
That too. Typically,
the Packers are missing a few guys too. But we'll see what happens. So that's the bet for next week. We'll jump into the Malort shot bet that me and Jim had from last week. So we bet, for anyone who doesn't remember, on Anthony Richardson whether he could achieve a 55% completion percentage. So fairly low bar for an NFL quarterback, and he just barely missed it with a whopping 39.3% completion rate. So I got to do my shot. God damn it, Anthony Richardson. I don't know why he keeps dragging me back into like a sliver of belief, but he keeps doing
Hasn't
it.
Hasn't he been on multiple of these bets now? He's might have cost us both a shot because I was always so high on him that I'm sure.
You were high on him early in the season.
I still think he can be a good player. It to me, it's still a developmental issue with him. Like, I think he just needs time.
Yeah.
That was hard.
I mean, Josh Allen wasn't what he is now in his first year either. This is pretty much Anthony Richardson's first year.
He probably has less starting quarterback play than Josh Allen probably had coming into the NFL. Because Josh Allen only started a couple years in college. So, I mean, you just think of how few games he's played. Like, he's just so raw. I think you almost have to give him like 2 to 3 years. He's just got to be a really long project, not just like, 2 years, we know what we got. I think you have to be like 3 years in to be like even remotely confident.
He gives that glimmer of hope every so often of like a decent game. And you're like, oh yeah, there's a little something here. And then he follows it up with something like this.
That's some of the best passes all year. And obviously he's got the running, to back it up. So, I mean, it's just
for every one of those, there's like 2 or 3 just terrible throws. It's like, I don't know what he's doing there.
Right.
Anyways, I'm going to chug this thing down here quick.
It's been nice not having to take those lately.
Tied up now. Yep. 6-6. It's getting
bottles full. It's getting close to what mine's at. You guys took some pulls off of mine, so not quite there yet, but catching up.
I think we did. We took a few of those during the Packers Lions game too.
Yep. That's right. So your bottle's been hit
multiple times. You were doing it in joy. I was doing it in sorrow.
Yep. Gotta, take down the excitement. It's weird as a Lions fan. I don't like this. Actually, I did look up the Thanksgiving thing as well. It was when they first moved to Detroit. It was try to gain traction with the Detroit fan base in the team's first season in the city.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of cool. It goes all the way back from day one.
Fans in.
Yep.
Yeah, sure. Nice. So
the NFL just adopted it, I guess, and made it a big production, and then they realized how valuable it was.
Yep, they realized, hey, shit, we're making a lot of money on this. Let's do more.
So thank original owner G.A. Richards. That's the man right there.
Salute to you, Mr. Richards, for bringing us Thanksgiving Day football. Because I do love it.
Oh, yeah. Best holiday of the year. Love it. Yeah. It's fun to watch the football games. Obviously, the Lions play. The most time it ends in sorrow for me, so it's finally hopefully turned around, obviously. But
I couldn't believe last year's game. That was wild.
That's right when you guys started hitting your turnaround. Yeah. I don't think anyone really thought you were much of anything, and then you beat the Lions.
Everyone's like, yeah, you guys were looking hot at that time too. I think you had lost like one bad game to Baltimore at that point, but
yep, that's right. And then we beat Bears, and then we played you guys, I think. I know it was a kind of a rough stretch for us.
How you feeling this week with your against the Bears? Confident?
They've looked good. I mean, at least maybe not great, because obviously you said the Packers kind of looked like they just kind of let him back in. I think that's kind of similar to what the Vikings did, but
yeah, maybe we'll get into their matchup later. I'm just curious if you're confident Lions beating the Bears this
I'm never fully confident in division games, even as good as we are. I will not take division games lightly. It's just, I mean, we saw some upsets last week. It's just what happens in these things.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to bet on the Packers for the fab bet, because I can see that this game being tough. Yeah. Chicago's defense is pretty good.
Defense is good, and then if Caleb Williams has a good game, like, he's a good quarterback if everything's clicking. He's got a lot of growing up to do, but you can definitely see it. I mean, he's not just sitting here, you know, throwing checkdowns all day. Like, the guy's got an arm. He knows how to use it. He just needs a little bit of a better supporting cast. So
yeah, he's made some very impressive looking throws this year, and more so in the last few games. But anyway, so yeah, our bet for next week, we'll talk about the Bears more when we get to the NFC North and the rest of the gang. But our bet for next week for the Malort Shot is going to be, we're going to bet on the Ravens versus Eagles game, so the game of the week this week. So Jim's going to take his Eagles, and I'm going to take his Ravens. These are both kind of your teams, but
yeah,
you said you like the Eagles a little more in this one, so I'm all about betting on the Ravens there.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, I think the Eagles just, they're a little bit more well-balanced because they have good defense, where I think the Ravens' defense is pretty middling. So it'll be a fun one to watch, though. Obviously, two high games. I was just looking at the over-unders. We were talking about that, too. It was like 51.5. Yeah. Most other games are 47 or lower. So, I mean, that shows you this is going to be probably a high-scoring game. Two of the top offenses in the league with running quarterbacks, those tend to get pretty explosive. So I'm expecting a big game between both teams.
All right. So yeah, shots done, fab bet's done. We'll jump into we do have some week 11 NFL highlights this week. Just because I thought there were a lot of upsets this week. I do a pick'em league. There are a lot of ones that I didn't see coming. So we had the Browns. They beat the Steelers. Steelers went ahead and beat a bunch of good teams, and they lost to the Browns. Kind of weird. Titans beat the Texans. Again, Titans have looked like a terrible team this year. Texans, I guess they're kind of on a bad spiral right now. Similar boat, Cowboys beat the Commanders. Most people didn't see that one coming. This one's, the last one's not as surprising. Seahawks, they beat the Cardinals, but they crushed them. That's kind of why I was more of an upset, because the Cardinals are rolling in pretty hot. And then, last one's not actually an upset, because the Chiefs won, but they barely beat the Panthers. Scored a game-winning field goal at the end of regulation. So yeah, some surprising results I thought this week.
When that was definitely an upset week, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of division games, and as we were just talking, you know, those are the games that teams typically pull off upsets in. They know each other so well. It's not always about talent in those games. It's a little bit more about pride. So you see a lot of upsets around this time of year, because they normally kind of put a bunch of games of same division right now to kind of build up excitement for the playoffs. So I think that's exactly why we saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. The first one, the Browns, like I said, they're not even really playing for anything. I don't think they have a shot at the playoffs anymore. Essentially eliminated, but that's the AFC North. Those guys go hard at each other. I feel like if we're going to bet upsets, it's the best division to do it in. The worst team beats the good teams, the best team all the time.
And they all hate each other. Like, that can make their whole season for the Browns. Like, everything could go bad, but they could sweep the Steelers, and those fans will be pretty content with the year.
Yeah. I haven't seen it as much the last couple years, but yeah, some of those games get violent. Like, there's people literally intentionally trying to hurt each other. Like, it's not, we're trying to win. They really hate each other.
Yeah, we got good rivalries in the NFC North, yeah, but I do think the best ones reside in the AFC. Like, it must just be like that hard nose, like Steelers, for all the years that they've kind of run the division. It's just made everyone else more hard nose, and like, just when they get together, these teams are like, you know, they always say blue collar. Like, they're always like that. They're always defensive minded teams. Their coaches are very trench focused, hard nose, defense focused. It just, every time, these games don't disappoint.
Yeah, sometimes they're really low scoring, but they're still, yeah, it's they're intense the whole way through. You very rarely see a blowout. No. Next one, yeah, we had the Texans and CJ Stroud. They're really not looking hot this season. It's surprising to me. It's surprising to a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people have these guys as, they were great last year. CJ Stroud looked great. And this year they, you know, they got Stephon Diggs, which I guess he's gone now, but they kind of showed up their defense. And they seem like a, you know, playoff favorite, a late round playoff favorite even. They haven't looked, to me, it looks like they've taken a step back this year. CJ Stroud's taken a step back. I mean, they'll probably still be in the playoffs because their division is just, it's terrible. So they'll pretty much be a shoe-in to win their division. But if they don't start getting hot quick to end the season, I don't think they're going to do much with that opportunity. I don't know what you think about them this year.
I think it's just a lot of expectations getting put on young quarterbacks, young players, but young quarterbacks in particular. This kind of reminded me of like when Baker Mayfield had his rookie year and he played really well and everyone kind of just freaked out. I remember looking at an NFL.com article and they're like ranking all the top quarterbacks. Stafford was like 12 and Baker Mayfield was like 8. And I'm just like, what is this? This guy played one season. It's almost like the same thing as Stroud, even though Stroud's season was even better than Baker's, like one of the best rookie seasons we ever seen.
Yeah, I think it was.
It's still like these teams, once they start getting a little bit more information on players or maybe one defense corner kind of shows how to beat them, then it's like that player's turn now to show that they can beat their weakness. And honestly, give the Packers credit, whatever they did, that like stunt on the center that kind of wrecked their offensive line for a couple weeks, took them a while to kind of figure that out. And I think that kind of slowed them down on their progress of just getting in sync as an offense. And they've just been off all year, especially with the injuries that they've kind of dealt with. And the defense hasn't been as good as everyone expected either. So yeah, overall, it's just, they're all disappointing, but I think it comes down to the hype just shouldn't have been as high for a guy coming into his second season.
Yeah, I mean, media definitely piped them up a lot. Like I said, I watch a lot of other, you know, sports podcasts and stuff, or listen to them anyways, and there are a lot of people picking them to be, you know, in like the championship game, if not in the Super Bowl this year. And it's just shocking how many people would think something like that would happen.
They're not far off of the class that the Lions were in, you know, but by the media standards. And I kind of always thought that was a little crazy. Like, I knew they were good, but they were still kind of like a year or two away from where the Lions were last year even. So it just seems like they're kind of slightly behind us in progress. And you know how these young teams go. That's just, they kind of naturally get better every couple of years because it's just a bunch of young players learning more and more. And yeah, I think they're a season behind. And then hopefully Stroud can kind of get things back together by the end of the year, going into next year, and then maybe they will be what we kind of thought. But this year, yeah, definitely a interesting year for them.
It might be better for them to get a little bit humbled this year. Because, I mean, like you said, too, they're young. I'm sure they're consuming a lot of the same media that I am, and they might get kind of high on themselves, being like, oh, yeah, I'm the next thing. I'm the next big person to be here and doing this. And I could see that being detrimental to actually getting better.
That was actually one of the big things Dan Campbell preached when the Lions are first starting to kind of turn things around, and you kind of felt the excitement like, oh, this is actually like not just a good team. This is like really starting to become something. He always talked about the expectations the players have, you know, like they need to kind of, I mean, I'm sure most coaches say they have to block that out, but like he seemed more focused on it than the average coach. Like that was a very big deal to him, to not get over excited about, you know, what they're becoming and focus more just on the day-to-day stuff and just keep working at your craft. Like if you forget that and you start just taking the praise, then you stop doing the stuff you do every day to be great. That's when things start to falter. And that's probably one of the reasons why the Lions have been so successful this year.
Yeah. They've handled their success very well. You just keep getting better every year for like the last 4 years now. But yeah, Commanders, they're kind of in the same boat. They started the season looking red hot. Looked like Jaden Daniels was easily going to be the rookie of the year. But now they've lost three in a row. They really haven't looked good at all during that stretch. Jaden Daniels has performed very poorly. He still gets some good runs, but he's been throwing picks. I haven't liked it. So yeah, kind of the same thing. Team that was looking hot and now is kind of looking more middling.
I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago. It was a Matt Patricia quote where he said, like, you don't really know what teams are until around Thanksgiving. That's when the teams really start to show themselves. And we saw a lot of these teams start out hot, and the Commanders being one of them. And it was one of the things that I always kind of held caution with Jaden Daniels is like, yeah, when these guys get out and they start playing well early, that's great and all. But again, we were just talking about with Stroud. Maybe it took longer for Stroud, but sometimes it only takes 4 to 5 weeks to see what these teams are doing, especially these guys coming from spread offenses that are more like dynamic as a ground or like on the ground. It makes it a little more difficult for defenses to understand how to play against them. But once they start getting the information, they're able to make better decisions and, you know, their defenses tighten up against these players. And now he's probably seeing coverages he's never even seen in college. And that's going to make it a lot more difficult for him. I do believe he hurt his like rib cage too, though. So maybe that's part of it, but I know he's still running. So I can't be bothered in that much. And maybe it's just something he has to learn to play through as he gets older. But, yeah, it's just another situation where I think the media kind of overhyped, got really excited, like, this is the next great guy. And it's like, well, hold on, just give him, like, at least a season or two. Let's see how he kind of goes through the ebbs and flows of the start of his career, because it's going to happen. And right now he's on a downswing. So hopefully the turnaround is soon, because he's been a really fun player to watch. But, yeah, you can see as soon as he started to falter, the rest of the team kind of went with him.
Yep. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, media's big to crown the next person. I think everyone wants to be, like, the first person to be like, yeah, this is the guy. So they can be like, ah, I called this stuff back in week one. I knew it was coming, blah, blah, blah. And they could hang that on their mantle. And then if you're wrong, you just never mention it again. So it's
the nice thing about the media. They never lose, yeah, right?
Exactly. Next upset that we mentioned, Cardinals. They were starting to look real hot. They won their last four in a row. But the Seahawks shut that down this week. It kind of leaves the NFC West in quite the flux. They've got 2 6-5 teams with the Seahawks and the Cardinals. And 2 5-6 teams with the Rams and the Niners. So that division's pretty wide open. I'm really curious who's going to come out of that division. There's probably only going to be one of them. I don't see any of them getting in on a wild card. So those guys need to play each other tough for the rest of the season. And if you ask me to guess who would come out, I honestly don't. I don't even know. that's too hard to call.
I think I'd favor the Rams. I know they're 5-6. I just think you have the best quarterback.
Yeah.
Your defense is playing better than I think people expect. They have a lot of talent on their offense. A lot of their losses early were injury related. You can't tell me like they wouldn't have won a game or two if they were a little more healthy earlier in the year.
Yeah.
So that just makes me think overall they're slightly probably a better team. They just had a bad pace because of the injuries. So I think they'll pull ahead. I guess it all depends on how many games they have left against their, you know, division, but I imagine they still have like 4 games at least, or 3 or 4.
Yeah, we'll see. I think if I had to choose, I'd probably say the same thing, I guess.
Well, I look at it like the Niners are just, what, too beat up. They just too many injuries, I think, to even be competitive.
Yeah, they're too beat up, and it's the wrong time to be beaten up like that, because you need to be winning your division games now, especially because they're one game back on. So, yeah, I think they're in a hole they're not going to get out of.
Well, you probably put Cardinals 3, Seahawks 2.
I'd say Seahawks would be number 2. I think they're the second most likely. The Cardinals had that awesome stretch too, and they were playing really good. So I don't even know.
Maybe they. I don't think Kyler Murray is too flawed. I think the right defenses can limit him too much to be successful. Like he relies too heavily on the play breaking down and just kind of playing in that element. Like he's not good in like structured play. He's good when the play breaks down. Maybe one of the best quarterbacks in the league, if not the best, when the play breaks down. But if it doesn't get to that point and you can keep him in the pocket, he doesn't make enough winning plays as a quarterback yet.
I guess even with that list, like I feel like I can't put the Niners at the least likely.
It's weird to say, because I mean, if they're healthy, they're the best team. It's not even close.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with all their players who plays this week. We'll talk about some of their big injuries in the next section because the Packers played them last week. But and then the last one I had, it wasn't technically an upset, but the Chiefs, they win again, but they barely win again. It's so weird. I don't really know what to say about this team. Like, they're back-to-back champs, and they kind of did the same shit last year. I don't think it was this bad. Maybe it was, and I just don't remember it being as questionable last year because they wound up winning the Super Bowl, and you kind of just forget. But, I mean, they barely squeaked out a win against the Panthers this last week. I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, they barely squeaked out a win against the Raiders. They straight up lost to the Bills and kind of got their asses whooped against by the Bills. Then they barely beat the Broncos with a blocked field goal. Like, it's just been they've only lost one in that stretch, but it's looked so bad. And, like, I want to say their reign is over, but like I said, the same shit happened last year, so I don't just can't ever count them out.
It's a weird team. I think last year they kind of hit teams at the right time too, because weren't like the Bills kind of injured when they played them? I know they played the Dolphins in the playoffs. Like, they actually had a pretty easy schedule to the playoffs, where it's like this year I think there's better teams around. Everyone's a little healthier. I mean, it depends once we get into the playoffs, I would imagine.
Yeah, but, I mean, they'll probably be the one seed, so they'll get a bye. And who do they play out of the bye? I mean, the worst team is
only a game ahead of the Bills.
That's true.
I think the Bills will outpace them, to be honest. So it really probably comes down to the Bills outpace them. They have the tiebreaker too. It's really only a half game behind. So I would put the Bills as number one.
But the Bills play the Lions, so you got to assume the Bills are going to lose another one.
I don't know. I think the Bills can beat the Lions. That might be the Lions' last loss of the season, right there.
Second.
I can't imagine the Lions are going to go 16-1. There's going to be another loss or two.
Hopefully against the Packers.
You guys are in the playoffs. Who cares? Just give us the win. We want the 16-1.
Hey, we got a bet riding on who wins this division. The Packers are only 2 games behind.
Doesn't feel like 2 games.
Well, that's all it is.
It is true. I keep seeing that meme where there's like the guy running behind the mirror and it says objects in the mirror appear closer. It was like the Viking guy. And then everyone was like, yeah, it's crazy how the Vikings are still a game behind us. Like, they've hardly beat bad teams the last couple weeks. And then everyone's like, well, you kind of have to add the Packers doing the same thing to the Vikings. Yeah. Everyone's like, what happens to the Bears? Like, oh, they're just roadkill.
Yeah, they're way back there. They're down and out.
Yeah, it's still a wide open division when you think about it.
I mean, with 6 games left, is that right?
6 games left. We've all played each other once. Yeah. So there's another game between each of us.
We've got divisional games and 6 games left. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty wide open with only 2 wins separating first from third.
Yep.
We got a bet. I don't want to be wearing Lions shit next year at the draft. And have to kiss that dildo. God.
Yeah. You're starting to get those thoughts, aren't you?
I mean, when you're bottom of the league, hey, I do have more points than Ashley by like 8. So
on the season?
On the season, yep.
Yeah.
So I have the tiebreaker if I can get another win and she can lose.
It matters how it's in the playoffs, though. Your team's on the downswing, maybe, you know? Like, who knows?
I'm not quite guaranteed to get the round one bye, but it's extremely likely. So I'll probably only get 2 chances to win. But, enough of that talk. We'll worry about that when it comes up. Let's get into the NFC North.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
So the Vikings beat the Bears 30-27 in a pretty wild game. Definitely the most wild NFC North game this week. And between 2 NFC North teams on top of that. But yeah, this game went to overtime. This game, it had it all. So the Bears, they had an early field goal block in this game. So they had 2 blocked field goals in a row. Rolling off the Packers blocked field goal last week to end the game. They played it pretty tight in the first half. First half ended 10-14. Vikings were up by 4. The Bears came out pretty weak in the second half. Vikings scored another 10, made it 24-10 with about 8 minutes left. The Bears did a little bit. They found themselves down 16-27 with 1:56 left on the clock. And in that time, the Bears managed to score a touchdown, get a 2-point conversion to make it 24-27, so down by 3, but they only had 22 seconds left. So obviously they go for the onside kick, and they get the first onside kick recovery of the season from any team. Then they completed one pass for about 18 yards. They got into field goal range, made the field goal, and got into overtime. So an incredibly impressive comeback with less than 2 minutes left on the clock. And the Bears actually win the coin flip. But Caleb just takes a huge sack. They can't get a first down. They punt it away. Vikings drive down the field, get in field goal range, and put a dagger in it. So another very close divisional loss for the Bears. You feel a little bad. I mean, they've played. I mean, the whole game wasn't great, but in that last 2 minutes, like when it counted, like they did what they needed to do. The offense put the drive together. They scored. They got the 2-point conversion. The onside kick, obviously pretty lucky, but they got it. And even after that, they still had to get up. They still had to get one play for a chunk yardage to have enough time to even kick that field goal, and they did that. So I feel a little bad for Bears fans, but a little bit hopeful for him too. I mean, it's looked there's promising things from there. I'm not a fan of it as a Packer fan, but
I think it all comes down to coaching. I heard that the coach, the offensive coordinator that they fired, didn't even have like game script in the beginning of the game. Like most coaches have like the first two series like scripted out.
Or so many plays, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess the Bears didn't even do that. Like Walden or whoever their old offensive coordinator was just had. No, he's like, we don't do that. I guess DJ Moore called him out on it or something after he got fired. So I really think there's a lot of talent here, and it is coaching malpractice pretty much from everything you hear that's come out from that organization. And this is like their second offensive coordinator. This is supposed to be their new offensive coordinator. They're supposed to be better. And he gets fired in like, what, 6-7 weeks? Like that's the guy their head coach brought in. This is the second guy they brought in. You can't stabilize a team with all that term over. I mean, we talked about earlier, why did they even keep Eberflus? Like, you're drafting the new rookie quarterback, the new shiny quarterback. Get him someone that it can, you know, is going to stay with him for a couple years and can develop with him, not the guy who's like, man, if he has a bad start to the season, he's gone.
Yep.
Like, you're already putting your prized possession in a terrible position, and hopefully the talent can overcome it. I like the competitiveness of the division this year, so I'd like to see more of it.
You want another good team in this division?
Sorry, what was that?
You want another good team in this division? Three's enough. You only need four.
I know, we're so high up on the top that it's like you guys can all fight underneath us. It's
you're two games ahead of the Packers and one game ahead of the Vikings.
You look you're better that far
away.
That doesn't feel as close to me.
Okay. I mean, it's pretty tight.
It really is tight. I do like the competitiveness of the division because it's kind of cool to see all of us in the playoffs, probably looking like maybe like the three most dominant teams at the time of the playoffs would be pretty cool to see in one division. The only other team that I think maybe can outpace the Packers or Vikings right now is probably the Eagles. Like, who else in the NFC is even looking that great?
I was going to say, if you had to pick top five NFC teams, you have like Vikings, Lions, and Packers probably have to be there. There's the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. I can't even think of anyone after those two teams and the Eagles.
A lot worse this year. Like I said, the NFC West is kind of not looking nearly as hot.
West and East don't have anyone other than the Eagles. So, yeah, I think it is the North. And what does the South have? They have the Falcons. Tampa's are okay. Tampa Bay is okay. I mean, the Saints aren't anything. Like, they've completely fallen out. And yeah, then the Panthers. So yeah, I think it is those four teams. And it's not even close with the other teams.
Well, we'll be duking it out at the end of the season. Yeah, like I mentioned, we got that bet. So hopefully the Packers don't slip up anywhere and can get a good win on these divisional matches coming up.
I will say, I'd be worried about losing to the Vikings and Packers in the playoffs. Like, that would suck because we sweep you guys in the regular division, I'll be so worried because it's so unlikely you win three times in a row.
Yeah, so you'd almost rather lose one of these ones coming up.
You'll feel better going into like that playoff. Yeah, it's just like one of those things. Like, if you're doing that well, success, wise, like the numbers are eventually going to go to the mean. So like, it's just one of those things. That's how regress. We're always going to regress to the mean. So. It's going to be a wild end to the season.
I'm very much looking forward to it. So yeah, the Packers, they got a bit of revenge against the 49ers this week. They didn't quite knock them out of the playoffs, but it's pretty likely that we eliminated their playoff chances by beating them this week. Because they have a hard division to go through, and their division record isn't good. So we might not have to worry about, well, you guys won't have to worry about it either, because they beat you guys in the playoffs too, right?
Yeah.
We did you a solid. Don't have to worry about going to the Niners this year.
Not too worried about this year, but I mean, if they would have got healthy, they would have been a scary team. You know, they could have been that team that, you know, gets healthy at the end of the year. And then it's like, oh, dude, these guys have been there for the last couple of years. Like, you don't want to see that team.
See, I mean, the big caveat in this game, Packers-Niners, was they were without two of their three best players in this game. Trent Williams and Nick Bosa both sat out. So their best offensive, well, their second best offensive player, in my opinion, and their best defensive player weren't playing. They also didn't have their starting quarterback, Brock Purdy. So they rely on their backup, Brandon Allen, whoever that is. Didn't seem like a very quality backup quarterback to me. But, you know, Packers, they took advantage. And you do what you're supposed to do when you get that advantage. You know, they're playing at home in Lambeau, and they just embarrassed them. They won 38-10. They had three defensive takeaways. Jordan Love didn't throw any interceptions for the first time since last season. Yeah, so that was good. Josh Jacobs, he was a bell cow. You like to see that, especially late in the season. He's still pounding away like he has been early in the season. So as a Packer fan, which a lot of us are, this was a great game to watch. Like I said, I mean, we did have the advantages. We were at home. It was a beat-up team, but they didn't squeak it out or anything. They took care of business. And the offense looked good and the defense looked good. Both, you know, both sides of the ball were looking great. So if you want to get hot, now's the time of the season to start doing it. And it's definitely a step towards what you wanted to see as a Packer fan.
I mean, you can't choose who you play, right? So it's not your guys' fault that they're all beat up. But yeah. I mean, if they're beat up, you should dominate them. And that's what you did. So that's a good team to do. And it wasn't even close. I think there's a little bit of pent up aggression from some of the past playoff losses. Like, I feel like this game means a little more to the Packer players and even the fans. Obviously, the fans, I think that stuff always means more to them than the players. But this game did have a little more for it to them. So I think that's why you kind of saw the blowout. So, yeah, they've been good. I love Josh Jacobs. I was really disappointed when the Packers signed him. And he's looking every bit as good as he was in his best Raiders days. And he's the perfect complement to the offense that you guys have. And I think it kind of almost you took AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones and you just mashed them together. And then you get Jacobs. So, yeah. I hate cheering for him when he's on the Packers, but I always like seeing him be successful.
Yeah, it's nice to have that kind of running back on the team because Aaron Jones was never that. And A.J. Dillon, I think, was supposed to be there, but he just, the dude had no vision. He was not, he just wasn't that good. He was big. He could, you know, plow people over, but when there's a hole here and a hole right next to it, and you go down the wrong one every time because you can't, I don't know what his deal was. I wish he could have been more, but he never amounted to it. But Josh Jacobs is that kind of guy. He finds the holes and he hits them hard. He gets those extra yards. It's fantastic to have him. I mean, he had three touchdowns this last week, you know. Packers got close to the red zone this week. We were doing what we should have been doing for a while. It's just give him the ball. Yeah. If he doesn't get in the first time, give him the ball again. If he doesn't get in that time, just give him the ball again. You're on the 2-yard line. He'll get in there eventually.
Yeah, he's a great power back, so he's going to always get you a yard or two, unless it just the blocking completely fails. That has been kind of a like something that's been going on a lot with you guys, because even against the Lions, he had like almost 90 yards in the first half, and the Lions have like some crazy like 2-3 year stretch where they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher, and it was pretty clear he was going to break 100 yards, and then they just never used him again for us the game. Is that something that's been happening all season?
We haven't been that far behind the team, except against the Vikings, I think, all season. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were down 2 scores against you guys, so I don't know what our offense does in that situation if Florida starts throwing it too much, but we've only lost 3. The week 1, we weren't down by a ton. I mean, I guess against the, when we played the Vikings, maybe we were down by like 25 at halftime. So obviously we weren't throwing at that time, but we came back, almost won that game. But so that one, I get abandoning the run, but I don't know if the Flores, a lot of coaches have that thing where it's like, yeah, you're down by two scores and you just kind of abandon the run a little bit too early. It's like, dude, you got to have to play. There's plenty of time to run the ball still. So I don't know. We haven't been down by that much that often this season, so it's hard to say. It's hard to judge what the situation is.
It could seem like the Lions might even be psychological because, like you said, Ma teams probably feel like, okay, two scores might not be enough, but might be. But if you're playing against someone like the Lions, they have such a great offense, you're just like, oh, shoot, they're up two scores. Like, we need to score touchdowns now. We need to get in the end zone now, not tomorrow. And then you're going to probably play more aggressive. And, yeah, maybe that takes away some of the run with Jacobs.
But, yeah, I mean, speaking of the Lions, Lions beat the Colts 24-6, so pretty handily in that one. I was kind of watching this one. The first half, actually, I thought it might be kind of a competitive game at first. Both teams were kind of going up and down the field, slowly, methodically. But the Colts, every time they got into the red zone, they got stopped, and they had to settle for field goals. Versus the Lions, every time they got into the red zone, they punched it in and finished the drive. So at halftime, it was 14-6. Both teams scored twice, but one was two touchdowns, one was two field goals. And I thought if the Colts kept that up, eventually they'll get one in. But second half started, and the Colts just didn't do anything, the rest of the game. So it was 24-6, pretty dominant win.
Yeah, for a week of bad games, like, this is probably one of the most dominant wins of the week, which is kind of crazy. It didn't really feel that way. The Colts had a lot of big plays taken away from turnover or penalties. There was multiple. It was like 20-yard pass the out to a tight end where it was like a perfect throw by Richardson. I'm like, oh man, that sucked. And then it was like, oh, coming back, some kind of like holding or something like that. I think the offensive lineman just like threw his hand right into the neck area of our defensive end. It was just kind of one of those like penalties that's just his hand slipped. It wasn't really malicious or anything, but it's just that's the way the penalty is called. So yeah, it ended up being more lopsided than I looked to think. The Lions actually weren't playing that great. So the fact that they win by 18 in a game that honestly they didn't play well is crazy for me to think of all the years that the Lions have sucked. Now they're up to no touchdowns in 10 quarters that they let up on defense. So their defense is now starting to put up some pretty cool stats where their offense is doing it in the beginning of the year. So you kind of have, I think right now we're like the number one and number two ranked defense, the number one offense and number two defense or something like that. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, they're looking fucking good. I've seen that meme floating around of your D coordinator just sitting on the bench, like all sprawled back, just like during the game, he's just sitting there like, yeah, I don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got it made right now.
No one scored a touchdown on us in 10 quarters.
And that's without Aiden.
Yeah.
Like, think what happens next year when we have Aiden. Aiden's still like 10th in sacks on the league for this year. And he's played what? He hasn't played in 5 weeks? He was leading the league even a couple weeks after he was injured.
Let's see.
He was at 7.5 when the rest of the league was at like 4. So it took a while for someone to break 7.5, which I think it just broke like a couple weeks ago. So it might have been 3 or 4 weeks. He was still the number one in sacks on the year. So I can't wait to see him back. It sucks that we might not see him for this year. There's an outside chance he's coming back to the Super Bowl. But
I mean, he's going to be a problem in this division for quite a while. So.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Hopefully the broken leg doesn't slow him down.
Hopefully he comes back strong. But yes, we got our standings for the division. It sure would be nice if a non-Bears team would lose a game one of these weeks, so we could cover the difference. But current standings, we got the Lions there sitting at top at 10-1. We got the Vikings there in second at 9-2. Packers in third at 8-3. So like I said, there's only two game difference between top and third. And we got the Bears at 4-7. I could probably just drop the Bears off those standings going forward because they're out.
Yeah. I mean, they're not making the playoffs, I think, unless some crazy turnaround happens and they win like all their games. I think it's an NFL record or something for this late in the season for three teams in a division to be over 8 wins or something like that.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Never happened in NFL history. It's pretty crazy.
And I mean, two of the Packers' three losses are against the two teams above them, too. Sucks.
Right? Yeah, I didn't think about it that way.
The only team we've lost to, I think, what is it? All the teams we've lost to, their combined losses this season are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 losses. That's how many.
The Eagles,
those are the three losses. Because we it's the three best teams in the NFC that's who we've lost to so far. But I mean, we got to figure out a way to beat them because that's who we're running into in the playoffs, obviously.
What is your opinion of the Packers? Like, I have my opinion of it, like how I feel like they've played this year. Like, how do you actually feel? Do you think that's like an accurate representation of your record? How do you think you actually stack up against some of these other teams?
I mean, I think out of those, I would say flip. I mean, I think those three teams, maybe not the Vikings, but the other two are obviously better than we are. The Eagles and the Lions are a better team right now. They're more well-rounded. You know, obviously the Packers have a chance against either one of them, but they're not so far behind them that they can't beat them on any given Sunday, but they're not as good as those two are. The Vikings, I'd say, are about on par with us. Like, but the Packers, I think, have the talent and the ability to get better or to be better than they currently are. Like, yeah. Love needs to stop turning the ball over. We've had we're the worst in the NFL in the red zone, just straight up the worst. And really? One of the reasons Love just keeps turning the ball over when we get to the red zone. We get down there, we have a touchdown in our hand, or at least a field goal, and then that was a pick. It's like, dude, it's such a bad time to throw a pick. Like, we have a guaranteed 3 points because we're on the 5-yard line. We're not going to miss that field goal. So I think that's why we ran it a lot more when we were down there this last week. So it's like, let's just not blow this. We're down here, get the points. Even if we don't get in, we'll take a field goal, but let's not throw it away. So basically, I think it comes down to Jordan Love. He needs to play better. He needs to stop throwing so many interceptions. I'm fine with throwing one, but you can't throw two or three in a game.
Right. I mean, he turned it on last year, and you guys looked like one of the best teams in the playoffs, you know? So we saw it a year ago when everyone was a little bit younger, and you have one of, if not the youngest roster in the league. So yeah, obviously there's a lot of room for growth that they're already playing this well.
There's that, and there's drops too. Our receivers just love to drop the ball, which is also infuriating. I think they have the talent. They just need to like clean it up. Like they're not too bad on penalties. Their defense is doing really well in takeaways. McKinney had another one last week. I think Jair is going to miss the next couple games, but he always misses so many games. But we need him for the playoffs because our other corners aren't good enough to make it work without him.
Seems like you guys are missing like that player that can kind of take over a game. You just don't have a player. Like, you have a lot of really, really good players. Yeah, Jacobs is like probably the best to like take over a game. And Love showed that he can do that at times, but he hasn't done it this year that much. I just feel like that's what they need. They need some guy who can really elevate the rest of the team when you're just not playing well.
Yeah, Jacobs can kind of do it. Yeah, but we don't have like that wide receiver one where we can just target the shit out of him. We don't have a Justin.
That's why I thought of it.
We don't have an Amon Ross, St. Brown. We don't have a AJ Brown. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have anything like that. We just have a bunch of like high-end wide receiver twos is what I feel like we have on our team.
And I think that's what matters. Like, especially like you need a third down, you need a 3rd and 6 completed, or a 4th and 6, we'll say, game on the line. It's nice that the Packers have all these guys because it's like, oh, mm-hmm. Will you stop? You don't really know the ball's going. But at the same time, it's like, well, you don't have anyone to stop because there's no one you have to really worry that's just going to dominate right then and there and probably put themselves in a position to get that first down. Amon-Ra, he's probably not even that quite level of like high dominant receiver, even though that's probably his bread and butter, exactly that type of yardage.
Yeah, he gets open and he doesn't drop the ball.
Right.
For the Packers, I really wish one of the dudes would have stepped up a little bit more this year. I think that's what we were hoping for. We were hoping Jordan Love would continue where he was last year. And that, you know, one of those three, maybe four wide receivers that were all looking like pretty promising would like take that next step, but they all seem to just have stayed where they were, which kind of stinks.
Too gadgety. He's not quite like a full blown like number one or even number two receiver. He's kind of like this like hybrid slot guy, which Jordan can Reed. Work, obviously. Or did I say Jordan Reed?
I didn't hear who you said.
I was talking about Jaden Reed, right? Is it Jaden?
Jaden. Yeah, my bad. Yeah.
I was saying like he kind of seems like this guy who's extremely versatile, huge big play guy, but he's not quite like a receiver one. He's not quite a receiver two. He's kind of like this like hybrid slot guy. So he's just kind of like too gadgety, I think, to be like a dominant like play to play receiver. I think that kind of hurts you too. And he's probably the best receiver on the team. I shouldn't say it hurts you. I mean, it's a really good thing to have.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it sound like it's a negative, but again, he just doesn't quite win in those important situations.
But he's like, if it's the Niners, like he's like Debo, like he does a lot of crazy shit. But then it's nice to have an Ayuk who's like a legit wide receiver who gets open. He's fast as shit.
Yeah, sure, it's kind of like the Robin. He needs a Batman though. He needs like a Davante Adams, and then he flourishes next to that type of player that can really take the pressure because he's the one that's going to blow open the coverage because he's so dynamic. So that'd be interesting to see if you guys can find someone like that.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping Christian Watson would stay healthy and maybe be that finally, but he hasn't looked like it. He still drops it. Or if that was Dontavian Wicks, because I thought he looked really hot, second half of last season he got open, but he had dropping problems and it rolled right into this year, so neither one really stepped up.
That's a bummer. Hopefully you guys can find someone, because I think that's really what will probably help Love too with the turnovers, just to have someone to rely on. That might be a part of the reason for all the turnovers.
A go-to target. Yeah,
just someone you can rely on in a situation.
So yeah, I mean, that's my thoughts. We're like the third, fourth, fifth. I mean, there's definitely a tier break, I think, between the Eagles and the Lions and where the Packers are. So,
I think you're right with the Vikings.
But the Packers have room to improve. Like, I don't know what the Vikings can do to get I don't see how they can clean up and get better, really.
They're kind of playing at their peak. I would agree with that. Like, they're at their peak. The Packers are probably, I would say, like, the Packers probably have played slightly worse than the Vikings all year. But, they have, that upside that makes them a little bit more of a threat when it comes to playoff time. Like, I don't see the Vikings being good enough to make the Super Bowl. I think the Packers could hit a streak of good play from Jordan Love like last year and be a potential Super Bowl candidate.
Yeah, that's exactly what my thoughts are, too. Just got to get hot and have the good games at the right time.
Well, we were on a good streak for a while, but we did it again. We recorded a little bit too long, so we're splitting this one into two. Tune in for the second half right after this. Bye now.